This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Pittsburgh. We have absolutely nothing to talk about on this Tuesday morning. I just cannot believe the last week in Pittsburgh sports. Unbelievable. And that's a word that I don't use lightly. Austin Bechtel with you. It's the Fan Only Morning Show for the Average Joe, presented by CGR Wholesale, where the average Joe buys like a pro at CGR Wholesale. I wrote it all down. Here's the list. This is everything that has happened in Pittsburgh sports in the past week plus. About weekend, a couple more days, weekend change, 10 days, 12 days, we'll say 12. The Steelers met with and signed quarterback, Super Bowl champion, multi-time Pro Bowler, approaching double-digit Pro Bowler, Russell Wilson to a one-year contract with a vet minimum deal. $1.21 million. Russell Wilson, starter. So, they traded away Kenny Pickett. I was in Washington, D.C. covering Pitt basketball in the ACC tournament and could not believe it. Kenny Pickett, as it was reported by Jerry Dulac, reportedly didn't want to dress as the third quarterback, the emergency quarterback, and also did not handle the signing of Russell Wilson very well. Trading for Justin Fields, which is a reality that I never really thought was going to happen once Russell Wilson was in the fold, because it's Wilson, it's Pickett. Let's be honest here. Russell Wilson wasn't going to sign unless he was given an assurance that he was going to be the starter. Seems that that was indeed the case. Kenny Pickett didn't like it, so he's gone. And the Steelers always carry three quarterbacks. It makes logical sense at that point to be able to have an established backup. But Justin Fields, until Kenny Pickett was traded, I thought Justin Fields, in that whole argument, debate, possibility, was gone. Not going to happen. I was hoping that the Steelers were going to add Justin Fields to begin with instead of Russell Wilson, because I like the long-term play. Fields is only 25. Yeah, I know he's 10-28 as a starter. I'm not pushing that off at all. That is not something that you can shove to the curve and try to bury. It's not. I mean, that's a real concern. But I like the upside. I like the potential. I like the running ability. It's a scrambling ability that we just have not had in Pittsburgh for a starting quarterback since Cordell Stewart, in an era where, I mean, running quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks really is the better way to put it, really weren't something that was molded and crafted to be used in an NFL offense or understood until Michael Vick. And then later on, with other mobile quarterbacks like Russell Wilson that's been utilized. I mean, Russell Wilson early in his career wasn't the Justin Fields type of guy in terms of speed and scrambling ability, but Wilson was great just being able to move to his left, move to his right, take off if he needed to. He was a good runner with the ball. He was a read option type of guy. Now, obviously, more of a pocket passer, but can still get out of the pocket and escape. Justin Fields, last season, 16 touchdowns, 9 picks, 2,500 yards passing. Also, just pretty solid carrying the football as well on the ground. What else did they do? Well, Patrick Queen was a big-time signing. 3 years, $41 million from the Baltimore Ravens. Can Patrick Queen be a guy for the Steelers, or will he be the guy for the Steelers? Is he the answer to Ryan Shazier? All the questions that have not been answered for the Steelers with names like Avery Williamson, Miles Jack, John Bostic, guys that have been signed to try to replace Shazier, Devin Bush, who was drafted to try to replace Shazier. I think Landon Roberts did a good job last year. I think Cole Holcomb was playing pretty well. until he ultimately got hurt. How long is he going to realistically be out? Or how much is that injury going to affect his NFL career moving forward? It could be maybe fatal for his career. If not, it's going to significantly impact him for the long run. It's a really bad knee injury that he sustained. The Steelers also signed safety Deshaun Elliott. Oh, yeah. Hello. People kind of forgot that that happened because it was taking place at the same time that the Steelers. So it was Wilson, Queen, and Elliott who were all announced at the same time. Or were all speaking to the media for the same time. And, you know, Elliott kind of got caught up in the fold here of the day after Patrick Queen. People are talking quarterbacks. He's only 26 years old. He played for the Ravens. The Steelers are clearly making it a point of emphasis this year to go after as many former Baltimore Ravens as possible. Six-year pro from Texas. Decent player, is versatile, can move around a little bit. Spent last year in Baltimore. Spent last year with Miami, should say. He's a good player. 2019 and 2020 with Baltimore, also 2021, 2022 with Detroit, 2023 with Miami. 75 total tackles last year, had an interception. I like the moves that they're making. And one of my favorite moves is that they signed a punter. Cameron Johnston. Welcome to the Steelers. Thank you. Thank you, Mark Ahn, for making a move at punter. I do feel bad for Presley Harvin. I think he's a good guy. I think he's had a lot of unfortunate things happen to him in his early career. But he didn't get the job done. He was not good. He just was not. He was one of the worst punters in the NFL. At times, he was the worst punter in the NFL. So Bill Burr lookalike, Cameron Johnston, who went to Ohio State, now in the fold. Punted for Houston the last 3 years. Was also a punter in Philadelphia for 3 years prior to that. 66 punts. He averaged 47 yards per punt. That's pretty good. Net punting of 44 yards per punt. Had a long of 74. Just a couple touchbacks. 45% of his punts were inside the 20. It's a good acquisition for the Steelers on a three-year deal. Where if you look at Presley Harvin last year, yards per punt, 44. Net yards per punt, only 39. The five-yard difference. Touchback percentage, 7.7 compared to the 4.5 for Johnston. Inside the 20, 38.5 compared to 45.5. The numbers might not seem completely different, all too different. It means a lot. So that was just the Steelers. The Penguins, well, the Auger bobbleheads were stolen. Also, the Penguins, yeah, they're 5 points out of a wild card spot. Never really expected that to end up being the case at this point, right? I mean, it kind of seemed like the Penguins were really just starting to sink, flailing their arms around and not having anything to grab onto. No life rest at all. And you're talking about potentially, for the Penguins, chasing down, you're not going to chase down Philadelphia, but in the wild card, the Washington Capitals, you're 6 points back. Detroit, the Pens just beat, currently 5 points back. Also, Texer, nothing to talk about. How about the Pirates and O'Neill Cruz instead of all the same old hyperbole? You do realize that the nothing to talk about was a joke, right? Literally listing off everything that did happen, and I'm only halfway through. Sarcasm must be dead. The Pirates, yes, did want to get into them. They signed Michael A. Taylor, one-year contract, $4 million, to be the starting center fielder. So that likely means, well, it does mean, that one of Jack Sawinski and Brian Reynolds is going to have a new home in the outfield. Brian Reynolds, former center fielder, came up and played there a good bit, also in left, now is in left, at least was the last couple of years for the Pirates, with Sawinski playing in center. Reynolds was playing in right in spring training not too long ago, getting some run out there, getting some opportunities to play a different position. It's a position that he hasn't played much of with the Pirates. So Reynolds potentially moving to right with Sawinski in left. Left field for the Pirates at PNC Park is similar equivalent to center field. It's a huge left field compared to the Clemente wall out in right. Reynolds in right, Sawinski in left, Michael A. Taylor in center. And it also opens up the possibility where, you know, he moves Sawinski to a corner. The Pirates like Jiwon Bae playing in the outfield. Don't really know what his status is going to be. He's been dealing with an injury. He's going to make the roster or not. Right now, I'd probably say no and start on the IL. So, they also signed Domingo Herman to a minor league deal. And he's a guy that had a perfect game last year. Is not the best character guy. And we're seeing the Pirates go out and get Domingo Herman, go out and get Aroldis Chapman. They're signing guys with troubled pasts. And I don't think that the Pirates are just... The Pirates are definitely doing their due diligence with these guys. And Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette even said that with Domingo Herman. They spent lots of time with Herman, his family, learning his situation to get the best grasp of it as possible to know if it is truly worth signing this guy. And it's not like Herman was necessarily good last year. 20 games, 19 of them starts, 108 innings, struck out 114 and a 4.56 ERA. He had a 1.08 whip. But he hasn't necessarily been too good. Last year, very limited sample size, 13 innings, 4 starts, 1.38 ERA. 2018, he was good, but again, 15 innings. Correction, 2022, Herman in 15 starts, 15 games, 14 starts, 72 innings. Had a 3.61 ERA, a 2-5 record, and again, last year, 5-7, 4.56, and 108 innings. Years prior, 2021, 4.58 ERA, 2019, 5.03, 2018, 5.57. He's been kind of all over the map. He was very inconsistent last year. Not that great of a player. But the Pirates are willing to take a risk and take a chance on him. But here's the main story. O'Neill Cruz, 2 more home runs yesterday. He's got 7 in spring training. He is so fun to watch. We all know that. Only 9 games last year. He was taken away from us by his sliding into home plate awkwardly injury that happened on Easter. It was very unfortunate because who knows what would have happened with the Pirates season. I'm not saying they would have made the playoffs, but who knows what happens with the Pirates season with a full year of O'Neill Cruz, because they still haven't had it. In the spring, 31 at-bats for O'Neill Cruz. He's 11 hits, 7 of them home runs, 14 of them RBIs. 3.55 average, got an OPS of 1.476. That's like that's way Hall of Fame level play. It's a level of play that O'Neill Cruz can't, you know, keep up. Or he hit 7 home runs and 31 at bats. He'd be hitting over, he'd be Barry Bonds. But it does broach the subject that O'Neill Cruz added in with Henry Davis in the starting lineup as the everyday catcher. Yasmani Grandal is still hurt. He hasn't played in a while. Henry Davis is going to be the starting catcher, and he's been playing games pretty much through its entirety, unlike other Pirates regulars, even Cruz, to the point where Davis is catching full games. The Pirates want to see him be able to do that and get action in to be able to truly know that he's capable of it and he can handle it. And again, I don't think you pick a guy 1-1 unless you think he's going to be capable of catching in the big leagues and maybe being able to hold down his own. I think Davis has been solid. You haven't heard anything about him because it's a good thing. The less you hear about Henry Davis behind the plate, the better it is, because it means the better that he's performing. And that should be something the Pirates fans take note of right away and celebrate that There's no problems right now with Henry Davis defensively, which people have been saying is the main reason why maybe he'll even start the year in AAA. So I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by everything with the three pro sports teams right now. I mean, the Penguins, I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They're just not that good of a team. Everybody else keeps losing, and the Penguins have won a couple of games. That's kind of part of it. The Steelers is obviously the biggest news of the day, news of the week, news of the month, news of the year. Also, Pitt basketball was in the ACC tournament last week. Bob Carrington, the star freshman, who's being mocked in some mock drafts to go late first round, said he's coming back to Pitt. And I posted the video on Twitter. It got some play from some national people and a bunch of NBA people who were not happy about it. NBA fans, people who wanted to see him in the draft process. It doesn't mean that Carrington is ultimately not going to go to the NBA draft. It's an emotional decision. He's 18 years old. I'm sure right then and there he's going to say, yeah, for sure I'm going to come back. But Pitt missed out on the NCAA tournament. Metrics, the computers. It's ridiculous that Pitt missed. A lot of it is, though, because Oregon won the Pac-12. NC State won the ACC. I mean, NC State, Pitt could have did that. Beat Carolina and then beat NC State, a 10 seed in the ACC tournament that wasn't supposed to be there. Nobody expected to be there. Duquesne, congrats to the Dukes. First time in 47 years. And when the confetti fell in the second half, during play, I thought that was a bad omen for Duquesne. And it was going to jinx Duquesne, be such a detriment to them. And for a while, it became a three-point game. It looked like Duquesne potentially was going to blow it, but they didn't. And Keith Ambrod is going out on a high note, winning the A-10, 7 years. His dad, Sid, played for Duquesne in the 50s. It's a great story. It's the best story in Pittsburgh sports right now. It really is. They're going to play BYU on Thursday. So just a quick rundown of it all. Steelers, sign Russell Wilson, trade Kenny Pickett, trade for Justin Fields, sign Patrick Queen, sign Deshaun Elliott, sign Cameron Johnston. I love the moves at quarterback for the Steelers. It's aggressive. This is not your grandfather's or father's Steelers. I love it. And I think Justin Fields is the long-term play here. I do want to see what Russell Wilson does. Reports that they want to sign him at the end of the year to a longer deal. Yeah, that's assuming that Russell Wilson performs well and is the type of starting quarterback that they think can take him back to the playoffs. And you know what happens when you assume. I think Justin Fields is the future of this team at quarterback if he's able to develop. Good player, good abilities. And when I was talking about mobile quarterbacks, yeah, there's been guys that have been able to move before. Texter texted in and talked about Randall Cunningham, Fran Tarkington, but Roger Staubach. I'm talking about guys like mobile quarterbacks, meaning guys that are taking off and running. Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields is a guy that you can create run packages for. And yeah, Randall Cunningham was a similar guy to be able to do that. Yeah, I mean, Randall Cunningham also with Cordell Stewart. But I feel like things have really been molded more so into a more friendly type of quarterback environment, quarterback system where plays are being more so developed and offenses are more so shifted in a ways where those type of quarterbacks are able to thrive. I digress. The Pirates signed Michael A. Taylor. I would have rather had Tommy Pham. I think he's better. I think Michael A. Taylor is a solid defensive guy. Hit 21 home runs last year as a gold glove type of player. I think O'Neill Cruz is going to explode. He's going to explode offensively. Man, I'm so looking forward to it. 30-30 season is very possible. 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. I'm hoping that the Pirates try to sign O'Neill Cruz sooner rather than later to a long-term extension because the price is going to continue to go up this year. I think O'Neill Cruz is going to make the All-Star game, and he's going to be the guy, the X-factor, the difference maker for this Pirates team. And people are really starting to get hyped up on the Pirates, maybe being too optimistic about the Pirates, but this is coming from somebody who has them winning 85 games and making the last wild card. They need to add one more starting pitcher to make me feel really good about it, to make me feel like they can actually win 85 games, because right now I'm teetering between 81, 82, 83, but I think they will eventually get one more starting pitcher, or Jared Jones is that extra guy that's able to push them over the edge. Penguins, 5 out of a wild card spot. They're not going to make the playoffs. I'd be stunned if they do. It'd be very exciting for Pittsburgh if they do, but if so, they're going to get run by somebody good in the playoffs, whether it be the Rangers, whether it be Florida, Toronto, they're going to get crushed by them. Boston, it's not going to be good. The Yager bobbleheads things, I do like how the Penn social media team is turning this into a, yeah, Yager watch, here we go, to the rescue. Pitt basketball in the ACC tournament, yeah, Pitt basketball got hosed. They should be in. And if it was a normal bubble year and five teams don't get in who shouldn't have been in because they stole automatic bids, then Pitt would have been in. Pitt would be playing in Dayton. I'd be on my way to Dayton today for Pitt. It sucks, but everybody should rally around Duquesne. It's a great story. Keith Dambrot's wife is battling cancer. Dambrot was 80% sure, he said. He retired, he announced that he's going to retire yesterday. 80% sure at the start of the year he'd be done. Now, he knew he had to be done, had to retire, spend more time with his family. Was LeBron James' coach for 2 years before going to Akron, then taking the Duquesne job. I just love the story. And there are so many good people at Duquesne that have waited so long for this and that have really just never thought they'd see the day where Duquesne would get back to the NCAA tournament. How about Ray Goss? Been doing it for so long, 50 years at Duquesne. It's a guy who is the longest tenured play-by-play man in college for his team. And for him to get a chance to go to the NCAA tournament in 2024, it's pretty cool. So yeah, there is a lot to talk about. And there is so much to look forward to right now in Pittsburgh sports. O'Neal Cruz and the Pirates, who at one point, before all these Steeler moves, I thought that the Pirates were probably the team who had the brightest future in the next 5 years. That might still be the case. But the Steelers going out there and being aggressive. That's the thing about Omar Khan. He's so aggressive. He's into it. He is really doing everything necessary to make this team viable in an AFC that has so many star quarterbacks. And Jerry Dulac was hinting that there might be more coming on a Rich Eisen show with wide receiver. It's fascinating. This is not the Steelers of yesteryear. And it's just fascinating to watch what Omar Khan is doing. What previous regimes wouldn't. Aggressive, admitting mistakes with Kenny Pickett, and not being afraid to move on. And if you don't want to be here, Pickett, Deontay Johnson, Chukwu Okorafor, you're gone. And bring in people who do. Justin Fields wanted to be here. Russell Wilson wanted to be here. Patrick Queen wanted to be here. Deshaun Elliott, they got a new punter, Cameron Johnston. Latrobe is going to be, to steal a word from Joe Starkey and Crinkulin.